Leaving while pregnant, he goes crazy. Chapter 101. Predestined fate. After returning to their respective positions, Eva earnestly immersed herself in her work. Before going upstairs, the two of them agreed to take their grandmother to the hospital tomorrow and tell her after work, but they tacitly didn't mention the topic of divorce. Last time, out of anger, they went to the Civil Affairs Bureau early in the morning, but their grandmother's surgery didn't go smoothly as a result, but was hindered instead. This time, Eva wasn't in a hurry either. She decided to wait for her grandmother to recover well after the surgery before going to the Civil Affairs Bureau to get a divorce certificate. It was the same either way. Besides, it was also to prevent any unexpected situations. That's how she thought, and Adrian probably thought the same way. By noon, Eva was still going downstairs as usual to buy a bowl of porridge. Today, she wanted to try a different kind of vegetarian porridge. However, just as she walked downstairs and was about to talk to the boss, her phone rang. When she saw that it was a call from Michael, Eva was somewhat surprised and instinctively turned her head to look at the parking space she had found out about a few days ago. Sure enough, a familiar car happened to be parked there. Seeing her turn around, the car window rolled down, revealing Michael's handsome profile. He waved at Eva with his phone in hand, a gentle smile playing on his lips. Seeing him here, Eva was still a bit surprised. She hesitated for 2 seconds, then walked over. "What are you doing here?" Michael curled his lips and put down his phone. "I happened to be nearby for work, never expected to run into you. Lucky me. Is it really such a coincidence?" In fact, Eva had doubts about his explanation. Even if he was here for work, it wouldn't be so coincidental for him to park his car here and call her just as she was going downstairs. Seeing the tight lip she had given him, the emotions on Eva's face faded slightly. Michael noticed and raised an eyebrow. "Don't believe me." Eva smiled faintly, neither admitting nor denying. Michael didn't rush to explain, but simply smiled and said, "Since we happened to meet, how about having a meal together?" Eva hesitated, feeling like refusing. "Didn't you say last time that you owed me a replacement for the ruined farewell party?" Michael suddenly interrupted her. "Yes, last time he said he owed her, but then he didn't eat much when she took him to have porridge. It was indeed awkward." "All right then." Eva reluctantly agreed. Seeing her agreement, Michael got out of the car. Just as he was about to open the car door for Eva, two well-dressed men passing by quickly walked towards them. "Mr. Cooper." The two men seemed to not even notice Eva and kept going towards Michael with great enthusiasm. "Mr. Cooper, I thought you had left. It turns out you're still here. Would you do us the honor of having lunch with us?" Without showing any signs of discomfort, Michael took a step to the side, politely saying, "I'm afraid I don't have the opportunity. I already made plans." "Made plans?" The two men paused, then noticed the slender figure standing beside the car. They recognized her and realized it was Eva. "Mrs. Blackwood, how did you end up here? Are you the one who had lunch with Mr. Cooper?" Eva nodded and greeted the other person, "Hello, Mr. Jones." Michael noticed their acquaintance and became less indifferent towards Mr. Jones. He raised an eyebrow and said, "Eva and I were neighbors when we were children." Mr. Jones couldn't help but sigh, "I see. Since Mr. Cooper has an appointment with a beauty, we won't disturb you." Mr. Jones left with his subordinates shortly after. As soon as they left, Michael opened the car door for Eva. "Get in, little girl." Upon hearing this, Eva glanced at Michael and didn't immediately get in the car. "Didn't we agree not to use that nickname anymore? In the past, when she was younger, Michael would always address her like this as a friend, so she didn't think much of it. But now, at her age, it felt peculiar to be addressed that way." "You're right, then, Eve." Translation: to promise. Eva frowned. That nickname won't do either. Why? Michael couldn't help but raise an eyebrow. Would calling you Eve remind you of someone? Eva. If that's the case, then I should use it more often. Michael said, and seeing her standing still, he tapped her forehead with his hand. Why aren't you getting in the car? Are you waiting for me to invite you? She reluctantly got in the car. After settling down, Eva repeated. Please don't call me that way. It's not suitable for my current identity. What is your current identity? Michael drove the car out and smiled faintly. At my farewell party, everyone was talking about your and Adrian's fake marriage, and some people even think that you've taken Vivian's place. Eva had no ability to refute him and could only purse her lips and remain silent. Michael glanced at her seemingly sulky expression and couldn't help but laugh. Are you angry? Eva could only say in a muffled voice, No, you're speaking the truth. As long as you're not angry. In your current situation, if you don't adjust your mindset properly, you'll easily fall into a predicament. I know. Eva lowered her gaze. In fact, she had almost fallen into a predicament before, but luckily, she had a better mindset. Otherwise, the car had already left the company's entrance and entered the busy street. While paying attention to the traffic, Michael asked, How's Vivian's injury? It was so severe when she got hit, will it leave a scar? Probably. Eva replied listlessly. What about Adrian? Has he been taking care of her at the hospital these past few days? These questions made Eva automatically furrow her brows. If she didn't know that Michael didn't come here on purpose today, she would have really misunderstood. Even so, Eva directly said, If you want to know, you should call him yourself and ask. Hearing this, Michael couldn't help but laugh. Calling him myself would only make it feel uncomfortable. So, you're not happy with how I approached you? You said you didn't care, didn't you? Well, once again, she was left speechless. She looked out the window and said in a helpless tone, Next time, you should probably not coincidentally come over. Why? Michael laughed cheerfully. Is it too piercing to hear? Didn't we maintain it quite well the previous night? Eva did not reply. But what happened between you and him? When I was abroad, I heard the news and thought Adrian had fallen in love with someone else. No, Eva shook her head, her tone indifferent. It's probably hard to forget a life-saving favor. Actually, gratitude and affection should not be confused. If you don't like someone, it has nothing to do with gratitude. Eva believed the same. There are so many acts of heroism in the world, but how many couples are together simply because they saved each other? Most of it is just gratitude and appreciation. And perhaps falling in love because of it is just destined fate. Chapter 102. Poaching. The car fell silent as Michael's gaze searched the surroundings, no longer continuing their previous conversation, but asking her what she wanted to eat. Eva didn't have much appetite for meat and fish, so she wanted to have porridge for lunch. But Michael had already had porridge with her the previous night. It would be a bit inappropriate to suggest having it again today. In the end, she said, you decide. Michael paused, seemingly surprised by her decision. Are you sure? I haven't lived in the country for many years. Eva calmly replied, It's okay. After all, she wouldn't eat much. Then, Eva added, I'll treat you to anything you want to eat. Oh. Michael's lips curled up. Then I really need to choose carefully. In the end, Michael chose a Chinese restaurant. When Eva got out of the car, she deliberately glanced at the restaurant's decoration. It was upscale. Before the Hansen family went bankrupt, she and her little sisters often dined at similar places. After that, her group of little sisters scattered. The only one left was Emily. Before, it was Eva who took Emily to restaurants. After the bankruptcy, It was Emily who took Eva to street stalls or moderately priced restaurants. The first time they went, Emily looked at her cautiously and said, "Eva, even though right now I can only afford to bring you here, don't worry. Once I make big money, the first thing I'll do is take you for a fancy dinner." Thinking back, Eva couldn't help but smile. Although she didn't frequent such high-end places later on, Eva felt more fulfilled in her heart than before. And when you're at a low point, you see things more clearly than before. This could also be considered as a form of growth. "What are you thinking about?" Michael's voice snapped Eva back to reality. Eva regained her senses and couldn't help but smile, saying softly, "Nothing, just suddenly thought of something interesting." Hearing this, Michael arched an eyebrow. "What interesting thing?" Eva glanced at him, not intending to share this thing with him, so she remained silent. Michael was a person who knew his boundaries, so he didn't ask any further. The two of them sat down and ordered their food. Perhaps because Michael had chosen the restaurant, he handed her the menu as soon as he received it. "Take a look, see what you want to eat." Eva originally wanted to say anything would do, but she felt that it wouldn't be appropriate. After all, it was meant to be a farewell gathering, and saying she didn't mind would seem insincere. So, she took the menu and planned to symbolically choose a few dishes to eat. After she finished ordering, she handed the menu back to Michael. Michael opened it and glanced at it, his eyes flashing with surprise as he looked at her. "Your appetite seems to have changed a lot. Have you made so many dietary changes?" Without changing her expression, Eva said, "My stomach hasn't been feeling well recently." Michael looked at her with a smile but remained silent. This gaze. If it weren't for the fact that she had known Michael since they were little, knowing his personality, Eva would almost think that he knew something. After a moment, Michael finally asked, "If you're not feeling well, do you need me to accompany you to see a doctor after eating?" "No need, I've already seen one. Tsk, little girl has grown up, always keeping me at a distance." After Michael finished speaking, he checked several items on the menu with a pen, and then handed it to the waiter. He added another sentence as he thought of something. "Please bring this young lady a glass of juice." "Of course, sir." Hearing this, Eva paused. "How did you know?" "Forgot. You drank two glasses of juice alone at the farewell party, but I won't give you more today. One glass is enough, right?" Actually, Eva had no intention of drinking juice before she came, and she hadn't even carefully looked at the menu. She didn't expect Michael to notice. "Thank you." "No need to thank me, it's your money anyway." Almost forgot, it was Eva who was treating him today, and this kind of restaurant actually cost quite a bit of money for a meal. For the past Eva, this amount of money was nothing. In fact, with her current salary, she could afford to eat at this restaurant, but, if she were to have a baby in the future, there would be many expenses. The cost of clothing, food, shelter, transportation, and the resources for further education, she had to save money in advance. Just thinking about it, Eva felt overwhelmed. After all, she didn't plan to remarry, she was probably going to raise the child alone. If she wanted to provide good resources and conditions for the child, her future work would definitely not be enough. "What's wrong? Do you regret inviting me to such an expensive restaurant?" Seeing her deep in thought, Michael asked. Eva snapped out of it and raised her eyes, only to meet Michael's teasing gaze. "According to your salary at the Blackwood family, you shouldn't be so concerned about treating me to lunch." Eva couldn't help but laugh at his words, "How is that possible?" Michael picked up the tea that had been prepared on the table, brought it to his lips, and took a sip leisurely. He said casually, "Considering that we've known each other since we were little, if the Blackwood family's salary is too low for you, you can consider coming to me." "Are you trying to poach me?" "Poach you?" This statement slightly surprised Michael, but when he thought of a certain idea deep inside him, he didn't deny it either. Because in a way, he did want to poach her, but it wasn't the same kind of poaching. He didn't deny it, which also made Eva breathe a sigh of relief. If he was trying to poach her to go back to her previous company through a staged encounter, then she could rest assured, especially since it wasn't just a coincidence. Seeing her like this, Michael's gaze deepened slightly. "You seem nervous? Worried that I would treat you differently? What do you think?" Eva suddenly felt embarrassed as her thoughts were revealed. She blinked her eyes and instinctively denied, "No, I wouldn't think that way. How could you possibly have any thoughts about me?" Michael looked at her with warm eyes, his lips slightly curved. He raised his hand to touch his own nose bridge and whispered softly, "But what if I do?" Upon hearing this, Eva, who had already calmed down, froze in place. "What?" She thought she must have misheard and stared blankly at Michael across from her. Michael lightly tapped his fingers on the table, his eyes curved. Surprised. Seeing the smile in his eyes, Eva finally realized that Michael was just joking with her, and not only did she take it seriously, but she was also scared. She felt a bit speechless, but her mood also settled down. "No, but it's better not to joke around between friends." Michael curled his lips, his gaze beneath the lenses full of affection, his tone gentle. "I won't joke like that next time. However, when he brings up this topic again next time, it won't be as mild or joking as it is now." Chapter 103. "You will always be the one I love." Afterwards, Eva took a moment to visit the restroom in order to alleviate her embarrassment. When she emerged, she unexpectedly ran into a familiar face in the hallway outside the restroom. Eva's steps halted as she looked at the young girl before her, who wore a sorrowful expression. They weren't exactly familiar with each other, but had met briefly at the hospital last time. It was Diana's daughter, Paula. When Eva had wanted to go to the hospital for an abortion, she had encountered Diana, and if it wasn't for her daughter's situation, Diana would have probably proclaimed her own affairs to the world long ago. Seeing this girl, Eva thought back to that day at the hospital when she had firmly told Diana, "I like him." She wasn't alone here. Standing beside her was a tall, slender man who had a good-looking appearance. He was bending over, grasping Paula's shoulders, and pleading with a mournful expression. "Paula, please consider it as my plea to you. Let's have the child aborted. You're still young, you can't just drop out of school and have a child now, can you? Besides, I haven't even made plans to be a father yet. Give me some more time, let's wait until later to have a child, all right?" As Eva approached, she finally heard their conversation clearly. She looked at the man speechlessly. However, the two of them were immersed in their own conversation, not having the leisure to notice the people around them. "But you didn't say this before, didn't you say, if there was a child, we would get married? Don't you love me? What's the problem with becoming a father? Paula, I like you, but your parents don't like me. So, we still need time to work hard. Think about it, if you have a child now, your parents would dislike me even more. Will we still have a chance to be together in the future?" Hearing this, Paula seemed to be swayed and didn't respond. The tall, slender man, seeing her hesitation, continued, "Look, we're both still young. When would be a good time to have a child if not now? Didn't you say before that you were willing to do anything for me? This time, it's my fault, but please, just this once, do it for me, okay?" Eva pursed her lips. She hadn't expected this man to be such a scoundrel. What did he mean by doing anything for him? He really had a high opinion of himself. But after all, this was someone else's business, and she didn't want to meddle. Everyone has their own destiny and path to walk. Eva walked past the two of them indifferently, going a long way before she heard the girl's soft voice say, "Fine, I'll listen to you. Her steps halted, and she sighed internally. Is this how blind one can become when they like someone? She looked back and felt that the girl had been terribly deceived by the man. But what about herself? Did she ever take a step back and see the truth? In the eyes of others, in the position beside Adrian, acting as his fake wife, wasn't she ridiculous? Back at the dining table, Eva sat deep in thought, often spacing out. By the time their meal was nearing its end, Eva went to the front desk to settle the bill in advance. Miss, your companion has already settled the bill. Upon hearing this, Eva paused for a moment before asking, how much in total? After returning, Eva told Michael about transferring the money for the meal to him. Transfer? Michael chuckled lightly, with a lazy look in his eyes. If you want to add me on WeChat, you can just say it directly next time. We've known each other for so many years, no need to be so subtle. Eva replied, who wants to add you on WeChat? Michael asked, then what do you mean? Eva lifted her chin in the direction of his phone and said, I meant that you don't need to add WeChat. Just show me your payment code so I can scan it. As soon as she finished speaking, Michael flicked her hand with his finger. Last time you insisted on paying, and if you succeed this time, where would my dignity be? Eva's eyebrows lightly furrowed. If you really feel bad, just quit and join Morrison. Isn't that topic too far-fetched? Far-fetched. Michael lowered his head, appearing to be in thought. But, as you said, I do want to steal you away. You think a meal is enough to make me switch jobs? Aren't you dreaming? After speaking, Eva put away her phone and didn't insist on transferring the money to him. Let him pay if he wants to pay, the heir to the Morrison Group doesn't lack that money anyway. As for her money, she'll save it for her future children. Indeed, a meal might not be enough to buy you. Looks like I'll have to accidentally encounter you a few more times in the future. Eva noticed that Michael had become much more humorous compared to before. In the past, he only knew how to infuriate people, and now he seemed like a completely different person. It seems that these years abroad have helped him grow. After a few minutes, Michael suggested giving her a ride back to the company. Without hesitation, Eva directly refused. No need, it's not far from here to the company. I'll just call a car. Michael paused for a moment, and didn't insist anymore, simply nodding his head. All right then. The two of them left the restaurant together. When they reached the door, Eva saw the tall and thin young man she had encountered in the hallway earlier, Paula's boyfriend. They were still here? She glanced briefly and her gaze stopped. The woman being embraced by the tall and thin man was not Paula, but a mature-looking female powerhouse. She spoke with a commanding tone. You still haven't resolved that matter? People followed you to the restaurant, you're really impressive. My dear, I had no idea she would change her mind like that. We had an agreement before, and suddenly she didn't want to get an abortion anymore. I really don't understand. You don't understand? When you were fooling around with her, did you understand? Darling, my dearest, if it wasn't for her seducing me, how could I have fallen for it? A dried-up little girl like her can't compare to even one of your fingers, let alone you, who saved me before. You are my savior, and besides you, I wouldn't be interested in any other girl. The last sentence made Eva's footsteps come to a halt. She gritted her teeth. Biting her lip, she restrained herself from impulsively approaching him, but her hand gripping on the side tightened more and more. You are my lifesaver. I won't like any other girl except for you. These two sentences, like incredibly sharp swords, pierced into Eva's heart, leaving her stunned and in pain. Her steps halted, and she sighed internally. Is this how blind one can become when they like someone? She looked back and felt that the girl had been terribly deceived by the man. But what about herself? Did she ever take a step back and see the truth? In the eyes of others, in the position beside Adrian, acting as his fake wife, wasn't she ridiculous? Back at the dining table, Eva sat deep in thought, often spacing out. By the time their meal was nearing its end, Eva went to the front desk to settle the bill in advance. "Miss, your companion has already settled the bill." Upon hearing this, Eva paused for a moment before asking, "How much in total?" After returning, Eva told Michael about transferring the money for the meal to him. "Transfer?" Michael chuckled lightly, with a lazy look in his eyes. "If you want to add me on WeChat, you can just say it directly next time. We've known each other for so many years, no need to be so subtle." Eva replied, "Who wants to add you on WeChat?" Michael asked, "Then what do you mean?" Eva lifted her chin in the direction of his phone and said, "I meant that you don't need to add WeChat. Just show me your payment code so I can scan it." As soon as she finished speaking, Michael flicked her hand with his finger. "Last time you insisted on paying, and if you succeed this time, where would my dignity be?" Eva's eyebrows lightly furrowed. "If you really feel bad, just quit and join Morrison. Isn't that topic too far-fetched?" "Far-fetched?" Michael lowered his head, appearing to be in thought. "But, as you said, I do want to steal you away. You think a meal is enough to make me switch jobs? Aren't you dreaming?" After speaking, Eva put away her phone and didn't insist on transferring the money to him. "Let him pay if he wants to pay, the heir to the Morrison Group doesn't lack that money anyway. As for her money, she'll save it for her future children. Indeed, a meal might not be enough to buy you. Looks like I'll have to accidentally encounter you a few more times in the future." Eva noticed that Michael had become much more humorous compared to before. In the past, he only knew how to infuriate people, and now he seemed like a completely different person. It seems that these years abroad have helped him grow. After a few minutes, Michael suggested giving her a ride back to the company. Without hesitation, Eva directly refused. "No need, it's not far from here to the company. I'll just call a car." Michael paused for a moment, and didn't insist anymore, simply nodding his head. "All right then." The two of them left the restaurant together. When they reached the door, Eva saw the tall and thin young man she had encountered in the hallway earlier, Paula's boyfriend. They were still here? She glanced briefly and her gaze stopped. The woman being embraced by the tall and thin man was not Paula, but a mature-looking female powerhouse. She spoke with a commanding tone. "You still haven't resolved that matter? People followed you to the restaurant, you're really impressive." "My dear, I had no idea she would change her mind like that. We had an agreement before, and suddenly she didn't want to get an abortion anymore. I really don't understand." "You don't understand? When you were fooling around with her, did you understand?" "Darling, my dearest, if it wasn't for her seducing me, how could I have fallen for it? A dried-up little girl like her can't compare to even one of your fingers, let alone you, who saved me before. You are my savior, and besides you, I wouldn't be interested in any other girl." The last sentence made Eva's footsteps come to a halt. She gritted her teeth. Biting her lip, she restrained herself from impulsively approaching him, but her hand gripping on the side tightened more and more. "You are my lifesaver. I won't like any other girl except for you." These two sentences, like incredibly sharp swords, pierced into Eva's heart, leaving her stunned and in pain. "So, please don't worry. You will always be the one I love the most." While the tall and slender man was still expressing loyalty to the gentle woman, a cool and indifferent yet pleasant voice suddenly sounded. "You claim to love her the most, yet you can embrace and kiss other girls. Your love is truly cheap." Upon hearing this, the tall and slender man was taken aback, and as he snapped back to reality, he saw a beautiful girl with delicate eyebrows and clear eyes standing in front of him. "Who are you?" Chapter 104. the woman he fancies. The tall and slim man looked at Eva in astonishment, his eyes flashing with a hint of amazement. Although the girl in front of him was beautiful, he did not know her. The gentlewoman beside him also tightened her gaze when she saw Eva, then stared at her with caution. "Who is she? Did you find someone behind my back?" The slim man could only explain hurriedly, "No, love, I don't know her either. Who knows why she suddenly came up to talk to me? Who are you, by the way?" In truth, the slim man had a bad temper and was about to lose it when Eva approached him like this. However, her appearance was too stunning for him to do so, so he felt embarrassed to be harsh with her. "Does it matter if you know me or not?" Eva stared at him coldly, her eyes devoid of emotion. "What matters is what you said. You claim to love her, but you have a child with another woman. Who do you think you're fooling?" Hearing this, the slim man's face turned red. "What does it have to do with you?" The woman beside him remained silent, her face growing solemn. Eva smirked. "I simply can't stand your pretentious act. Do not think that just because you're good-looking, I won't lay a hand on you." Perhaps her words had triggered something, as the slim man suddenly raised his hand towards Eva. He didn't really intend to hit her, just scare her. However, as he lifted his hand, a strong grip seized it. "What the hell?" The slim man looked up and met a pair of deep black eyes, which were hidden behind sunglasses. Despite that, those eyes were like deep pools, filled with coldness that sent shivers down his spine. With a gentle twist, Michael caused the slim man to scream in pain, sweat forming on his forehead. Upon seeing him in agony, Michael released his grip and pulled out a clean handkerchief from his pocket to gently wipe his fingers. Arching an eyebrow, he said, "This is a lesson for you, for thinking of laying a hand on a woman." After wiping his fingers, he tossed the handkerchief into the nearby trash bin. "Let's go." Michael's voice softened considerably when facing Eva. She had never seen him like this before, and subconsciously nodded in response. "Okay." The two of them left the restaurant together. Even from a distance, they could still hear the tall and slim man hurling vulgar language at them. It was not until his voice was drowned out by the bustling city that Eva regained some clarity. "Sorry for causing you trouble," she said. Hearing her apology, Michael smiled nonchalantly. Seeing her look so remorseful, he couldn't help but reach out to rub the back of her head. Unfortunately, before his hand could touch her, Eva instinctively leaned away, avoiding his touch. Michael's distinctively defined hand lingered in the air for a moment, his gaze growing heavy. However, he quickly concealed it, retrieving his hand without a trace and returning to his relaxed and warm demeanor. "It's no big deal." Eva felt a bit awkward about their previous interaction. She felt that Michael had just reflexively performed a gesture from their childhood, and he still subconsciously wanted to do it. But did he consider that both she and he were not children anymore? Thinking about how he just wiped his hands and threw the handkerchief away, Eva couldn't help but ask, "After 5 years abroad, do you have OCD?" Just by touching the other person's wrist, even with clothes in between, he actually took out a handkerchief to wipe it. Not only that, he even threw the handkerchief away. Hearing this, Michael paused for a moment, then suddenly grabbed Eva's wrist. Although she didn't dislike Michael, this kind of physical contact still made her feel a bit embarrassed. When she subconsciously tried to pull her hand back, Michael let go and then held his hand out to her. "Do you still think I have OCD like this, Eva?" So, he was just using this method to prove that he doesn't have OCD. After 5 years abroad, his personality has changed too much. "I just think that he is not clean with those two girls, and I dirtied my hands by touching him." Following that, Michael added without a trace. Hearing this, Eva's eyes dimmed. She thought of Adrian again. Seeing her silence, Michael sighed, "Although I don't know if I should say too much, Everyone in the circle has always known about Adrian and Vivian's relationship. As for you marrying him. At this point, Michael paused, I'm not sure what exactly is going on between you two, but it seems like you don't like this kind of relationship now. If it's painful, end it sooner. Although Eva has known Michael since childhood, there has always been a barrier between them, and she doesn't want to tell him too much about her own affairs. So, she just smiled and nodded in response to his advice, okay, I understand. Michael dropped the subject and didn't mention it again. Do you really not need me to take you back? No, go ahead. All right, then I'll wait with you here until you get on the bus. Eva felt a bit embarrassed to refuse again, so she agreed. When the bus arrived, as Eva was about to get on, Michael suddenly took out his phone and opened a QR code. Eva glanced at it briefly and found that it was a QR code. Weren't you going to transfer money to me just now? Hearing this, Eva snapped back to reality and quickly took out her phone to scan it. But instead of transferring money, it turned out to be the Add Friend interface. Michael looked at her with a gentle expression. If you want to transfer money, add me as a friend first. Eva, all right, fine. Adding him as a friend, she got on the bus and left quickly. Michael added her as a WeChat friend, stood on the side of the road watching as the bus drove away, but he didn't hurry to leave. Instead, he clicked into Eva's WeChat Moments and carefully browsed through it. After finishing reading, he remembered something and made a phone call to his subordinate. Help me check Eva's recent activities. Yeah, find out where she went specifically and send me a summary. However, the most abnormal thing is Eva's eating habits. He has seen her 5 times, and 3 times he saw her eating and drinking juice with enthusiasm, not looking like someone with no appetite. But she seems to be afraid of greasy food. This appearance is similar to his young stepmother who is pregnant but dare not let him know, afraid that he will harm her, hiding and concealing, but unable to hide anything in terms of diet. He doesn't want to suspect Eva. It's just that he has experienced it before, so when he sees evil like this, he naturally thinks in that direction. And she is the woman he has chosen. Since she is the woman he has chosen and won't easily let go, naturally he wants to know everything about her. In fact, after experiencing 5 years of dark struggles abroad, Michael, who he is now, wants to have absolute control over what he wants and will not easily give in. The incident of going abroad 5 years ago, which resulted in him losing her and letting her become someone else's wife, will not happen again in the future. Chapter 105. Do you really not like her? That evening, Eva and Adrian relayed what Dr. Oberlin had said earlier to Granny Blackwood. During this time, Granny Blackwood had been in a good state of mind at home, her complexion healthier than when she was in the sanatorium, and her spirit high. Upon hearing the news from the two, she wasn't afraid and nodded cheerfully. Tomorrow for the examination? Of course, no problem. Granny Blackwood was in a good mood now, probably because she had developed a liking for the lively atmosphere outside. She wanted to finish the surgery early and recover soon. Eva felt relieved after hearing this. Grandma seems happy now. Yes. Granny Blackwood held her hand and sighed. I thought I would always be confined in the sanatorium, but being able to see the outside world again before the surgery, even if I die on the operating table, I won't have any regrets. Eva, who was happy because of Granny Blackwood's words, turned pale after hearing the last sentence. Grandma, what are you talking about? But Granny Blackwood's eyes showed no sadness. Instead, she looked at Adrian and beckoned him to come over. Adrian walked over with a serious expression. Grandma, don't say such ominous words. The surgery will be successful, and you will be able to see more of the outside world in the future. It's not an ominous thing. Of course, I hope the surgery will be successful, but unexpected things can happen. Adrian's face turned grim, and he spoke firmly, There won't be any unexpected things. All right, all right. Granny Blackwood smiled. Anyway, if anything happens to me, both of you have to live your lives well. Don't be too sad because of me, and don't argue. Adrian, you're a man, so you should be more considerate towards Eva. Women have it the toughest, understand? Bang. Tears streamed down Eva's face without warning. Because she was leaning against Granny Blackwood, the scalding tears fell directly onto the back of her hand. Eva. Granny Blackwood looked at the glistening tears and froze. Grandma. Eva pressed her face against Granny Blackwood's hand, tightly hugging her arm with teary eyes. Please don't say such gloomy things. The surgery will definitely be successful, and you have to continue experiencing the colorful world outside. Also, Adrian and I argue often, so we need you to mediate. So please, Grandma, nothing should happen to you, okay? Granny Blackwood had only envisioned possible outcomes, and her state of mind had actually been quite good recently. She used to have some regrets, but now thinking about it, there seemed to be no regrets. So, she said these words. At that moment, her mood was calm. No one wants to die prematurely. But if death cannot be avoided, then accept it calmly, there is nothing to be afraid of. She just didn't expect these words to make Eva cry like this. Granny Blackwood has always known that Eva's feelings towards her are not just those of an ordinary granddaughter towards her grandmother. She has always loved clinging to her, confiding in her, and sharing many of her thoughts with her. Gradually, Granny Blackwood began to realize that this young girl's feelings towards her were extraordinary. Later, she asked and found out that this young woman did not have her mother by her side since she was little. This made her realize a possibility, that the young woman might see her as a female elder she can rely on for emotional support. However, it was only today that she realized just how deep the emotional attachment had become. Grandma. She didn't respond, but the young woman kept crying. All right, all right. Granny Blackwood instantly softened, comforting Eva repeatedly. Grandma promises you, no more talk about gloomy things, stop crying, okay? In the end, it turned into Granny Blackwood constantly soothing Eva, putting in some effort before finally calming her down. Afterward, she went back to her room to sleep, promising to come back in the morning. Granny Blackwood lightly patted the back of her head. All right, good night, go to sleep. After she left, Granny Blackwood glanced at Adrian. Have you two been fighting recently? Upon hearing this, Adrian hesitated for a moment and then explained, she was just playing with you, did you really believe her? Do you think I'm too old and can't see the issues between you two? Granny Blackwood snorted coldly. You know exactly what's going on. Is it because of Vivian? Unexpectedly, Granny Blackwood hit the nail on the head, causing Adrian's expression to change. Vivian saved your life, so she is special to you. Seeing Adrian's lips twitch, as if he wanted to deny it, Granny Blackwood continued, don't rush to say it's not, Grandma has sharp eyes. You used to get along so well with Eva, but recently there have been frequent issues. I thought it was just normal arguments between you two until that day when I saw Vivian with that child. At this point, Granny Blackwood deliberately paused, before saying after a long while, the night we came back from the sanatorium, Vivian came to find you, didn't she? Adrian. Women who marry into the Blackwood family are not easily fooled. Seeing her grandson's silence, Granny Blackwood sighed. Just as I suspected. The general idea is, why does she want something with you after she saved your life? Isn't that too delusional of her? Adrian furrowed his brow slightly and instinctively spoke up to defend Vivian. No, it's not her being delusional. Upon hearing this, Granny Blackwood, who had been relatively calm, finally couldn't help but change her expression and her tone grew stern. If it's not her being delusional, then is it you? Adrian remained silent as his lips pressed into a straight line. As Granny Blackwood stared at him, her gaze gradually turned sharp and imposing. The aura and look in her eyes didn't match that of an elderly person, let alone someone who was about to undergo surgery. "Adrian, tell Grandma honestly, do you not actually like Eva?" Adrian stood frozen in place upon hearing this. "Like?" A perplexed expression appeared in his dark eyes. The astute Granny Blackwood, how could she not see the emotions in his eyes? But the moment she understood, she was almost speechless with anger. However, soon after, she thought of something and the anger dissipated. Adrian was someone she had watched grow up since he was young. The main reason Granny Blackwood favored Eva as her granddaughter-in-law was because of Adrian himself. If it weren't for seeing how well he treated and cared for Eva, Granny Blackwood would never have had this dream. After all, Eva was an outstanding woman. If they were to get married, it would naturally be between two people who loved each other. Thinking of this, Granny Blackwood sighed and said, "After all these years, you still don't know what you want, do you?" Chapter 106. "Have you not been enchanted by her?" Jason, as cool as water, walked through the crowd in the bar and made his way to the counter. Following closely behind him was John. They were called out by Adrian once again. When they finally found him, they expected to see Adrian completely drunk, but to their surprise, he was sitting at the counter in pristine attire, with clear eyes. As for the drink in front of him, he hadn't even taken a sip. "What's going on? Didn't you call us here to drink?" Jason asked, perplexed. He walked up and greeted Adrian. "Adrian, what's happening? You haven't touched your drink." Hearing the familiar voices, Adrian snapped back to reality and looked up, only to find Jason and John standing together. He gave John a questioning look, as if asking, "Why did you bring him along?" Understanding the look, John paused for a moment and quickly realized what had happened. It seemed that tonight, Adrian had only called him. But he didn't know that, so he brought Jason along as well. However, since they were both here, there was nothing they could do. The two men sat down without saying anything. Jason, acting carelessly, shouted for drinks and then turned to Adrian, "I have to say, you're really strange. The last time you came to the bar to get drunk, it was because of Eva, right? What about this time? Is it also because of her?" Hearing Eva's name, Adrian felt a knot in his heart and didn't respond. "Hey, I thought you two were doing fine before. How did things turn out like this? Vivian has already returned, so shouldn't she give up her place by your side to Vivian?" Jason continued. His resentment towards Eva growing stronger after hearing some details from the farewell party. He was deeply unhappy with Eva. Not satisfied with his words, he added, "If someone dares to harm Vivian in front of me, I will make sure she regrets it tenfold." Adrian narrowed his eyes, his tone turning cold. "What did you say?" Jason shrank his neck but gathered the courage to say, "Am I wrong? A man should protect the woman he loves, right? If she is hurt, shouldn't you seek justice for her? Scars, you know, they are a big deal for a woman." Adrian stared at him coldly, "Who told you that?" Jason widened his eyes. "Adrian, have you really been enchanted by Eva these past 2 years? She pushed Vivian and caused her to end up like this. Everyone at the farewell party saw it. It wasn't her." Thinking back to that day. On the scene, she had a disdainful look and Adrian instinctively denied for her. Jason clearly didn't believe it. "How is that possible? Everyone who came back that day said that she was the closest to Vivian at the time, and she was the only one who could have pushed Vivian. If it wasn't her, then who was it?" At this point, Jason said with disdain, "You surely can't say that Vivian fell on her own, right?" Adrian didn't speak but still had a serious face. Jason paused, sensitively realizing something, and turned his head to lock eyes with John. John looked at him calmly. "What do you mean?" Jason couldn't believe it. "You don't also think that Vivian fell on her own, do you?" After pondering for a moment, John didn't say that Vivian fell on her own, but instead asked, "I just want to know, why do you think Eva pushed Vivian? Is it just because she was close to Vivian?" "Being close to Vivian is one issue, and another is that everyone is saying it," Jason said. "Just because everyone is saying it, does that mean it's the truth?" "Well, if everyone is saying it, then what else could be the truth if not this?" Jason looked at John with a dumbfounded expression. "John, I don't understand why every time something happens, you always take Eva's side. Am I taking her side, or are you too biased towards Vivian?" Just then, the bartender brought the drinks over. John picked up one of the glasses and swirled it gently. The specially mixed cocktail shimmered beautifully under the light of the bar. If one's subjective consciousness is always occupied by the same ideology, it is easy to neglect other possibilities. Adrian, who had been silent all along, slightly contracted his pupils upon hearing this. Jason, on the other hand, stared at John with a strange look on his face. "What is this all about? Are you suddenly being so profound? And subjective consciousness?" John turned his head slightly and smiled faintly. "You treat Vivian like a goddess. Can you tolerate the idea of her framing others?" Upon hearing this, Jason exclaimed with disbelief, wide-eyed, "That is absolutely impossible. Vivian is such a kind person, how could she frame someone?" "That is your subjective consciousness. Because of your biased feelings towards Vivian, you always perceive her as noble, incapable of doing anything wrong, or even making mistakes. And as soon as there is even a hint of negative news, it becomes everyone else's fault, and at that point, the person closest to her becomes the scapegoat in your impression." "When did I ever think like that?" Jason shouted with excitement. "Isn't it the case?" John calmly looked at him. "Of course not," Jason denied passionately. "John, you are making me out to be someone I'm not. If that's not the case, then why do you immediately assume that it was Eva who pushed Vivian without even seeking confirmation? Why do you let Adrian take the blame for Vivian without seeking confirmation?" John's eyes were sharp, his words clear and direct, pointing out the key points. Jason was rendered speechless by John's words, unable to utter a single word for a moment. Even more terrifying was the realization that John's logic was actually correct. And what he had said had been easily refuted. He indeed did not witness it with his own eyes. On the night of the farewell party, he had something else to attend to, so he didn't go. After such a big incident happened, Jason regretted not going that night. If he had also gone, perhaps Vivian wouldn't have had to go through such a thing. Because he believed that with himself around, everything would revolve around Vivian, with her as the center. Even if someone wanted to harm her, he would protect her and not let her suffer any harm. The Vivian he liked was undoubtedly the most beautiful and kind person in the world. How could she possibly do something to harm others? With these thoughts, Jason abruptly stood up, his expression determined, and said, "So what if I didn't go to verify it? John, you say I am biased towards Vivian, but I think you are biased against her. Do you want evidence? Then I'll go find evidence to show you." Chapter 107. Haven't kissed her in a long time. Jason left in a huff. Only two people remained at the bar. John glanced at Adrian and saw that he seemed lost in his own thoughts, so he didn't rush to speak. After a moment, Adrian asked him in a deep voice. "What do you mean by what you just said?" John smirked. "You already have the answer in your heart, don't you?" Hearing this, Adrian looked up at him with a melancholic gaze. "What answer?" "Adrian, do you remember the last time I asked you here? After all these years, haven't you figured out what exactly you want?" John said, hooking his lips. Adrian was taken aback, realizing that John had also asked him before. No wonder when his grandmother asked him that night, he felt that the phrase sounded familiar. However, when John said it last time, he seemed to have not paid attention, and he didn't take it to heart. Seeing Adrian's silence, John sighed lightly. You grew up with her since childhood, witnessed all her joys and sorrows. When the Hansen family went bankrupt, if I remember correctly, you came back immediately when you heard the news, didn't you? Yes, Adrian couldn't deny this. At first, he didn't know about it, but as soon as he received the news, he dropped everything at hand and rushed back. Thinking back, John chuckled softly. I heard that you were negotiating a big deal at that time. Didn't you even think about finishing the deal and coming back in a few days? But why did you throw away all your work on the spot and come back immediately? Of course, it's because. He wanted to blurt out some words, but when they reached his lips, he stopped himself. Because you were worried about her, right? John completed the sentence for him. Yes, it was indeed worry. When he heard the news, there was only one thought in his mind. For her, you gave up a $1 billion deal. Have you ever seriously considered what the relationship between you two really is? Ordinary childhood friends won't do that, Adrian. John's voice was soft, but for Adrian, it was deafening. In that moment, his voice seemed to have been amplified countless times. Seriously consider the relationship between him and Eva? It's not difficult to see through one's own heart. Before he could answer, John continued, but if you find it hard to decide, it's better to let her go sooner, don't hold her back, and free yourself as well. After speaking, John patted Adrian's shoulder. Life is always about making difficult choices. Eva had already fallen asleep. She put on the pajamas she had just bought, made of fluffy and soft fabric that was lightweight. The warm sunlight made it particularly comfortable to wear. But because she had cried so much before bed, she sniffled a few times as she slept before finally settling into a peaceful sleep. Adrian stood tall and graceful in front of the bed. A warm yellow lamp was lit in the room, casting a soft glow on Eva's face. On her face, she appeared serene and docile in her sleep. During this period, their relationship could be said to be at an all-time low. Although they were still chatting and being polite on the surface, Eva's attitude and gaze were constantly tormenting Adrian's heart. Only when she fell asleep could Adrian feel that the distance between them hadn't increased, and their relationship was still the same as before. You already have the answer in your heart, don't you? John's words from tonight echoed in Adrian's mind once again. Suddenly, Eva's tranquil expression wrinkled her forehead. Is she having a nightmare? Adrian crouched beside the bed and instinctively placed his hand on Eva's forehead, wanting to smooth out the crease, completely forgetting that he had spent too much time at the bar and had a few drinks before coming home, so his hands were icy cold. Therefore, when his fingertips touched Eva's forehead, she shivered and woke up instantly. Their eyes unexpectedly met. Eva, who had just awakened from her dream, still had a dazed look in her eyes. Under the bedroom light, her cool eyes gained a hint of warmth, captivating Adrian. His icy fingertips were still on Eva's forehead. For a moment, Eva snapped back to reality and realized what had happened. She instinctively moved away from Adrian's touch and sat up, looking at him with a hint of caution. What are you trying to do? Her cautious expression displeased Adrian, and he furrowed his eyebrows. What can I do? Why are you so guarded against me? Upon hearing his words, Eva also felt that her reaction just now seemed a bit excessive. She could only turn her head and avoid his gaze, saying, nothing. Even if they weren't a couple anymore, they had grown up together since childhood. What harm could he possibly cause her? The next second, Adrian's cold palm firmly grasped Eva's chin, forcing her to turn her head back. Adrian's dark eyes were filled with hostility. If there's nothing, then why are you afraid to look at me? As he spoke, Adrian leaned closer to her, and his cold breath quickly enveloped her. Eva struggled, but couldn't break free. She could only put her hands on both sides of her body and looked up at him. Being so close, Adrian could even smell the faint fragrance on her body. This scent made him somewhat intrigued, and his Adam's apple involuntarily rolled up and down, revealing a hint of desire in his eyes. "Adrian, Adrian, what exactly do you want?" Eva said as her bright red lips opened and closed in front of Adrian. Suddenly, he realized that he hadn't kissed her in a long time. To the point that he had lost interest in listening to what she was saying. Eva realized that he was staring at her with his black eyes, his gaze akin to that of a wolf, as if he was about to devour her in the next second. She had a foreboding feeling and tightly gripped the blanket while closing her red lips. "If you're not going to sleep, then I'll go to sleep first. MM." Before she could finish tucking in the covers, everything went black and Adrian's presence engulfed her. The familiar softness that she hadn't felt in a long time left Eva in a daze for a moment, until she suddenly felt warmth in her mouth, snapping her back to reality as she pushed the person in front of her away. Adrian's kisses were intoxicating, causing him to be caught off guard as she pushed him. When he opened his eyes, desire still lingered in the depths of his gaze as he stared at her swollen lips from the kisses. After a moment, he pulled her back into his embrace, wanting to continue their passionate kiss. But Eva pressed her chest against him, asking, "Adrian, what are you trying to do?" Adrian's eyes darkened, his voice husky, carrying a hint of seduction. "Why did you push me away? Didn't you say it was just a physical need?" Eva's face paled and her pupils contracted. "So, he meant that he has these physical needs now, and that's why he came to her? What does he think of himself?" Chapter 108. "I don't like you at all." Upon thinking of this, Eva sneered and looked at him coldly. "You have physical needs, go find your Vivian." Upon hearing this, a shadow crossed Adrian's eyes, and he bit his lower lip before saying, "I only look for you, not anyone else." With these words spoken, he once again leaned in to find her lips, but received a slap from Eva. "Go away. Go find your Vivian, don't come near me. Go away." Eva was so angered that she was trembling, and giving him a slap was not enough, she wanted to continue. However, Adrian caught her wrist and raised his voice, angry. "During this period of time, haven't you been playing the role of a virtuous wife quite well? Why not continue?" As Eva thought about how he wanted to use her to fulfill his physical needs, she completely lost her rationality and had no intention of responding to Adrian's words, she only struggled hard. Seeing Eva like this, Adrian felt both angry and reluctant. Thinking about the words John and Grandma said to him, Adrian tightened his grip on her wrist. "These were the words you said back then, why are you angry now? Eva, what are you angry about?" When asking this question, Adrian's eyes remained fixed on her, as if he wanted to confirm something. "Are you angry about me saying that I only have physical needs with you, or are you angry about me going to find Vivian?" After struggling earlier, Eva finally reacted after hearing Adrian's words. If she didn't understand why Adrian suddenly acted like this before, she probably knew now. So, it turns out he wanted to test her. "What do you want to say?" Eva looked at Adrian's handsome appearance in front of her, and couldn't help but let out a soft laugh. It had to be said that every inch of Adrian's features met her criteria for a partner. Even now, she still thought Adrian was good-looking. She had liked him back then, and found him irresistible. But that didn't mean that she would just blindly offer herself without any limits. Adrian's thin lips moved, but he didn't speak, although it was clear what he wanted to say. After being childhood friends for so many years, they could be considered to understand and cherish each other. But precisely because they cherished each other, there were certain things that couldn't be asked. Like, liking and caring about each other. Once such questions were spoken out loud, it would pierce through a certain layer of window paper and some relationships would deteriorate. They would become impure, and what was more feared was that they would start to deteriorate. What could be more embarrassing than me treating you as a friend, only to find out that you actually have feelings for me? It's possible that in the end, we can't even be friends. So, Adrian could only use this restrained and controlled language to ask. But Eva was different from him. Because of their understanding, she understood what Adrian wanted to ask, so she smiled slightly and responded, her tone icy and cool, "Don't worry. I don't like you at all. Physiological needs, I did mention that, but that was under the condition that you weren't messing around with relationships. But now things are different, you have Vivian, why should I rely on you to fulfill my physical needs? Do I really seem that desperate?" Her words floated lightly, but they pierced Adrian's heart like knives. By the time she finished speaking, Adrian's gaze had changed. He stared at her with gritted teeth and asked, "Then who do you want to find? Carter or Michael?" Eva remained silent. "On the night of the farewell, Michael was the one who brought you back, right?" Upon hearing this, Eva furrowed her eyebrows in surprise. How did he know? She thought all of his attention was on Vivian at the time. "And yesterday, you went out with him." Upon hearing this, Eva finally sensed that something was off. "Adrian, are you following me?" At the same time, alarm bells rang in her mind. She had been to the hospital recently, even though she went with Emily. But if Adrian really wanted to check, he wouldn't find anything. "Do I need to?" Adrian retorted. "Not needed. So, it seems he didn't have someone follow her? How did you know?" When Vivian got injured that day, she could understand. Maybe Adrian saw Michael bringing her to the villa gate. But yesterday, when she went out to eat, she didn't even expect to run into Michael there. How did Adrian know? When she came back, she even took a taxi. "Are you nervous?" Adrian sneered. "Eva, have you ever heard the saying, leaving no traces unless you don't act?" Eva remained silent. Thinking of something, Adrian's gaze shifted downward, landing on her pajamas. "And your recent dressing style, is it to cater to their preferences?" Eva questioned, "What nonsense are you talking about? It's winter, am I not allowed to change my dressing style?" Feeling speechless, Eva also felt that Adrian was ridiculous. Instead of suspecting something about the child, he thought she was trying to please Carter or Michael. After knowing each other for so many years, Eva felt like she didn't really understand him. He seemed to think about the opposite of what she worries about. And about the child, he didn't seem to be too concerned from the beginning, he didn't even ask. Actually, no matter how you looked at it, this didn't seem reasonable. Could it be? As she pondered, Adrian's clear breath suddenly approached, interrupting Eva's thoughts. When she snapped back to reality, she saw Adrian's handsome face enlarged in front of her, his teeth clenched in anger. "Changing styles is of course allowed, but don't you think the timing is too coincidental? And the person you like is Michael? He held you that night." Hearing him bring this up, Eva felt a headache. "Can we not discuss this? Who I like, it's none of your business. Don't like anything, all right." After speaking, Eva couldn't help but yawn. "I'm so tired now, how about I sleep first? We can talk about it tomorrow." At this moment, Eva's thoughts were fully focused on taking her grandmother to the hospital for a checkup tomorrow. She really didn't want to bother with anything else. Upon hearing her words, Adrian stood frozen in place. He probably didn't expect such a serious matter, and Eva seemed completely unconcerned, even suggesting going to sleep. Can she really fall asleep? Seeing him remain silent, Eva said, "If you're not tired, then I'll go to sleep first." After speaking, She pulled her hand back and adjusted the blanket carefully as she lay down. Although Adrian stood there like a statue, he didn't come over again, which put Eva at ease. The two of them stayed silently in the room. Initially, Eva thought that as long as she ignored him, he would leave. However, Adrian continued to stand there and stare at her. Eva pursed her lips. Is he planning to stand there the whole night? Is he crazy? Forget it, as a person with a baby, she should rest well and not go crazy with him. After making up her mind, Eva turned over to face away from Adrian and quickly fell asleep. Chapter 109. Can you bear her leaving you? After falling asleep, Eva's breathing gradually became steady and long. Adrian moved to the other side of her back and discovered that Eva was really asleep. Not only was she asleep, but she was sleeping soundly. He raised his hand to touch his face that had been slapped, a confused expression on his face. If it wasn't for the lingering pain on his cheek, he would have doubted whether the whole farce just now was his own illusion. After all, how could someone be angry one second and then sleep carefree the next? She has changed so much recently that Adrian can hardly recognize her. His heart was not calm, certain emotions couldn't find an outlet. However, looking at her peaceful sleeping face, he couldn't say a word. Even when Adrian finally left the bedside, his footsteps were lightened. Finally, Adrian sat down on the couch outside. Even though it was already midnight, his mind was clear. He could only think about the words John said to him before leaving. When the two of them left the bar, John stopped him. If you really can't understand, then I can ask you a different question. Adrian's heart was in turmoil, and he glanced at him when he heard this. Although his expression and gaze were extremely impatient, he did not take a step away. John smiled. It's simple. Just think about whether you can bear Eva being with other men after she leaves you. Hearing this, Adrian frowned unhappily. John, what are you trying to say? If Eva hugs, kisses, and go out with other men, would you still bear it? When he heard the word hug, Adrian couldn't help but frown, not to mention what came after. After John finished speaking, Adrian's brow was already slightly angry. As if he had already anticipated it, John's lips curved up. I was just saying, and you are already so angry. But what if it actually happens? Adrian, how would you feel? Don't wait until it's too late to regret. What if it actually happens? Eva is excellent, and as a single woman, she will definitely have many suitors. And after leaving her marriage, she will inevitably be with someone else when she meets someone she likes. With her appearance, which man could resist her? They would definitely. Just thinking about it, Adrian's fists clenched. After a long time, he leaned back and rested his head on the couch, closing his tired eyes. Meanwhile, Eva in the bedroom slept until dawn. The next morning, when she woke up, she felt refreshed. And the small incident from last night was already forgotten. She stretched lazily as she got out of bed, ready to wash up. But when she was putting on her shoes, she suddenly saw Adrian sitting on the couch. Their gazes met in the air. Eva clearly saw his bloodshot eyes. She hesitated for a moment. Was he sitting here all night without sleeping? If he didn't sleep all night, was he sitting here staring at her all night? She shuddered at the thought. Today should have been the day to take Grandma to the hospital, but he didn't sleep all night. Oh well, Eva couldn't be bothered to say anything to him anyway. After all, no matter what she says, it's his own grandmother, and he should know better in his heart. After realizing this, Eva got up to freshen up. When she came out after getting ready, she found Adrian still sitting there. So she couldn't help but speak up, aren't you going to brush your teeth and wash your face? We have to take Grandma for a checkup later. Adrian's eyes flashed with impatience, then he stood up and said, I know, you don't have to remind me. After that, he walked past her and into the bathroom. Eva. Oh well, there are only a few days left anyway, so she decided to continue enduring. Since she had slept well and didn't have dark circles, Eva skipped makeup today and changed into her clothes before heading downstairs. When she got downstairs, she realized that Mr. and Mrs. Blackwood had also come. Both of them were in the living room talking to Granny Blackwood, who was sitting in a wheelchair. Seeing them, Eva wasn't surprised. They had informed her last night that they would be coming today. Last time, when Granny Blackwood had surgery, the couple couldn't make it due to delayed flights. Even though she didn't undergo surgery that day, the couple still felt guilty about it, so this time they came back early. They had come early today, although they still didn't know if surgery was needed. Just as Eva reached the bottom of the stairs, she heard Granny Blackwood sarcastically say to her son and daughter-in-law, "If your business is so busy, you don't have to rush back. Even if I were to die on the operating table, no one would probably care anyway." Before hearing the rest of her words, Eva thought that Grandma was speaking the truth. It was only after listening to the whole sentence that she realized she was being sarcastic, which left her a bit amused and exasperated. Eva thought, "Grandma is quite cute, isn't she?" Mrs. Blackwood, who had been sitting on the sofa playing with teacups, immediately put down the teapot and walked up to Granny Blackwood, squatting down in front of her and holding her hand. "Mom, what are you saying? Even if our business is important, it can't compare to you in our hearts. You hold the highest place, and nothing can change that." Mrs. Blackwood was just as Eva had imagined. Granny Blackwood, however, withdrew her hand with a look of disdain. "Do you think I'll believe you just because you say a few nice words? Oh, Mom, if a few words won't do it, then on the way to the hospital later, I'll keep saying it to you," Mrs. Blackwood replied. "All right, with your mouth, I'll find it annoying even if you talk the whole way," Granny Blackwood said, her face still displaying disdain but with a hint of a smile. Watching this scene, Eva couldn't help but feel envious. Mrs. Blackwood always seemed to be able to handle situations like this well. No matter how bad the person's mood was at the time, she always managed to bring the atmosphere back to normal. She really had a talent for it. She could never. "Eva." Granny Blackwood noticed her and called out to her. Mrs. Blackwood snapped back to reality and followed Granny Blackwood's gaze, indeed seeing Eva standing still. Delight showed on her delicate face. "Eva." Eva smiled at her and shyly squeezed out a hint of a smile, greeting each elder one by one. "Grandma, good morning. Dad, Mom, why did you all come so early?" Mr. Blackwood was a very reserved person emotionally, but he had watched Eva grow up since she was little. The relationship between the two families was extraordinary, and in his eyes, Eva was like a real daughter. Later, she became his daughter-in-law, and Mr. Blackwood and Mr. Shen became in-laws, strengthening the familial ties even further. He nodded at Eva, revealing a smile that came from deep within. "We were afraid of traffic on the way, so your mom and I came earlier." Mrs. Blackwood stepped forward and embraced Eva. "Eva, you've worked hard during this time. I heard that you've been taking care of Grandma the whole time." Chapter 110. Nature always wants to give her the best. There was a faint lemon scent on Mrs. Blackwood's body, very refreshing. When Eva hugged her, she felt both her body and mind relax, and she hugged her back tightly. Female elders always made Eva especially fond of them. Mrs. Blackwood also felt it and couldn't help but reach out and flick Eva's nose. "Are you missing your mom?" The term mom shocked Eva for a long time, and it took her a while to regain her senses and nod. "Yeah, I miss you all. Tsk, little girl, we miss you too." After speaking, Mrs. Blackwood lightly pinched Eva's cheek, feeling that her skin was incredibly soft. Unable to resist, she pinched it a couple more times, then turned to Mr. Blackwood and said, "Did you bring the gifts we got for Eva today?" Upon hearing this, Mr. Blackwood reached into his pocket and fumbled around, then took out two boxes.
I did.
Mrs. Blackwood turned around and fetched them, then handed them to Eva. Here, these are the gifts your dad and I brought for you this time. In fact, not just now, even before she married Adrian, Mr. and Mrs. Blackwood would always give her gifts every time they saw her, and they were always very valuable. If she didn't accept them, Mrs. Blackwood would keep persuading her until she did. So, when she received the gifts, Eva's lips curved into a slight smile, and she reached out to take them with both hands.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Mom.
Good girl. You have a conscience, knowing to bring gifts for the child, Granny Blackwood said.
Of course, Mom.
Eva takes such good care of you, and she's our daughter-in-law. Naturally, we want to give her the best. Everyone was happily chatting, and Eva put aside all her worries and troubles. At this moment, Adrian came downstairs. When he saw Mr. and Mrs. Blackwood, his originally cold expression softened a bit, but his complexion wasn't good. He hadn't been getting enough rest lately, and on top of that, he hadn't slept at all last night, so his eyes were bloodshot and there were dark circles around them. He looked extremely exhausted. Mrs. Blackwood only took a quick glance and her expression changed, but she didn't say anything in front of Granny Blackwood to avoid putting pressure on her. It wasn't until after Granny Blackwood was sent off in the car that Mrs. Blackwood pulled Adrian aside and asked in a low voice, "What's been going on with you these past few days? Your dark circles are so heavy. What have you been up to at night?" Adrian glanced at Eva's back, who was already getting into the car with Granny Blackwood, then withdrew his gaze and said calmly, "Nothing much." Upon hearing this, his mother sneered, "Did you forget who gave birth to you? Do you think you can hide things from me? Can you?" Adrian didn't even turn his head, his expression cold. "So, what if I can't?" Seeing him like this, Mrs. Blackwood couldn't help but roll her eyes, but because of her status as the Blackwood family matriarch, she didn't show it openly. The minutes ticked by, Adrian remained silent. As expected, what did you do to upset Eva again? Eva has such a good temperament, how did you manage to upset her?
A good temperament?
Adrian sneered inwardly. She wouldn't think that way if she had experienced Eva's irritating way of speaking.
Tsk, Adrian, what are you, a big man, arguing with your wife?
When she's angry, go and appease her, if once doesn't work, try again, and keep persisting until she gives in. There's nothing you can't accomplish with a little persistence, his mother advised. Like when you pursued my dad. Mother Blackwood, who had been happily teaching her son how to reconcile, suddenly found herself on the receiving end.
What are you talking about?
It was clearly your dad relentlessly pursued me, that's why we're here today, don't you see? Adrian clicked his tongue and decided not to argue with her anymore. Sure, even if his mother had relentlessly pursued his father in the beginning, after all these years, his father, who loved his mother so much, would definitely spin the story and claim that he had pursued her first. He had witnessed this kind of tactic enough times.
What are you clicking your tongue for?
Don't you believe me? If you don't, let's ask your father face to face, Mother said displeased.
Enough.
Adrian's expression was indifferent as he said, "Let's get in the car, we still need to go to the hospital for a checkup." Having said that, without caring about his mother's reaction, Adrian proceeded forward. Mother Blackwood stood in place and was almost pissed off by him. She finally understood why he had quarreled with Eva. Her son's personality was exactly the same as his father's, he was both silent and gloomy. Although others may be cold as an iceberg, her son was like a piece of elm wood. If Eva's personality wasn't like her own, then the two of them. Mrs. Blackwood sighed in her heart and followed suit, getting into the car. There wasn't enough room for everyone in the car,
so Granny Blackwood said she would ride in her son and daughter-in-law's car. Eva immediately followed her to the car. But just as she got on, she heard Granny Blackwood say to her, "Eva, you go and sit in Adrian's car." Hearing this, Eva was stunned and a sense of unease rose up in her heart. Granny. Could it be that she had discovered something? Otherwise, why would she want her to ride in Adrian's car at this critical moment? The next second, Granny Blackwood patted her hand as if to reassure her, "It's been a long time since I've seen your mother, and there are some things I want to talk to her about." Upon hearing this, Eva breathed a sigh of relief. If it was just to talk to Mrs. Blackwood, then it was normal. "Then, Granny, I'll stay here with you and not interrupt." "Silly girl, I want to talk to her about some other things. Why are you staying here with me? Hurry up and go," Granny Blackwood said, making Eva helpless. She could only nod. "All right then." She had no choice. Eva got out of the car and immediately ran into Adrian walking towards her. Their eyes briefly met, and Eva pursed her lips and averted her gaze, then walked towards his car. Adrian took large strides and entered the car before her. Initially, Eva was planning to sit in the back seat, but after some thought, she decided to get into the passenger seat instead. As soon as she sat down and was about to fasten her seat belt, she heard Adrian's mocking voice. "Didn't you say you wouldn't get in my car? Why get in then?" Upon hearing his words, Eva's movements to fasten her seat belt froze momentarily, but she composed herself and securely fastened the buckle. "It's not that I want to get in your car, but maybe this is our last journey together. Let's part amicably." In fact, before getting into the car, Adrian's mind full of the things his mother had told him. If she's angry, go and soothe her. If one time isn't enough, try again. He had mentally prepared himself, but seeing her walk towards the back seat and eventually hesitantly sit in the passenger seat made him feel uneasy. Hence, his words became defensive. And Eva's response made him clench his teeth in anger. "What did you just say?"